Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
I want to finish up this series that I gave some time ago, titled Jesus, the Son of God. And we saw many subjects, different types, on the Lord Jesus. And today we're going to be seeing this one. My Lord, I do it this way because I don't know if he's your Lord. Mine. My Jesus Christ is the grace of God. We saw a few subjects last time. There with who is this Jesus? We started seeing a few interesting key points there. So tonight I want to wrap up, or I'm about to wrap up actually. Oh, those are the subjects that we were seeing. Okay, is Jesus enough for you? Jesus the Lord. Who is this Jesus? He is the Word of God. And my Lord Jesus is the grace of God. This would be the sixth session. There's about one or two there available on the internet, but the rest aren't there just yet. Perhaps they'll be on audio format on our website. But not on video, not until perhaps next year. So I'm going to start with the basics here. But it's going to be very interesting. In Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has become manifest for salvation. That brings salvation has appeared to all men. The next verse, teaching us that, although I want to center too much on the second. You know what? Stay on just 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So when you speak of grace, it is not a subject as such, it is a person. Now in John 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of all, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. You cannot separate grace and truth, as you cannot separate grace and faith. I was sharing with Kayla, my daughter, and speaking on this subject at home, I said, in reality, grace and faith are basically the same. They just work in different ways. Its origin comes from God, God himself. Now, if you understand this, understand means with revelation, I mean. This isn't, oh yeah, yeah, I understand it. No, it's, if you have a revelation of this, your life will change. Amen. Last time, we were seeing a few things here. And I want you to see it with this subject. The grace of God is the Lord Jesus. And if Jesus and you are one. Interesting. If the Lord Jesus and you are truly one, if you were born again, then why would you have to worry and live discouraged and live with anger and being offended as the grand majority of Christians do? That shouldn't even exist in your life. Now, I speak on this just in general, the body of Christ. This is, don't take it personal, but we've let the world let us fill us of their spiritual sewage. Of all that spiritual trash that the world has. And unfortunately, we've received it and we don't act like true children of God. Because the Word of God says one thing and the children of God operate like the world. Amen. I've spent many years preaching on faith, and I'll tell you that I've noticed some things during those years. The grand majority of people of faith are too emotional. The emotions win them over. They're way too carnal. For example, they'll say, oh, by faith, I had this, and by faith, I'm healed, and this and that. But if they don't see those things manifest, quickly they're discouraged. And doubt comes and unbelief comes. And some become desperate, like in the same area of prosperity. There are people who, God bless them, but they are in some tremendous debt in supposedly the name of prosperity because they misunderstood prosperity, unfortunately. Which is why it's good to understand the word, having a revelation. If you truly understand who you are in Christ and who loves you, who cares what that other person thinks and who this one says and who the other says? I don't say that we don't value the value of we don't value the opinions of others, but as to give testimony, but who cares if that other one thinks? You don't have to show anything to anyone of what car you drive, what house you live in, nothing, if you truly believe. I'm not saying you don't believe the Lord for things, but prosperity isn't about things. If the prosperity of God were solely on things, on material things, then that means that the world also lives in the prosperity of God. And it's not that way. Material things are included, but the prosperity of God isn't about you, nor about me. It is a minimal part. And many people went away instead of just believing God for for those necessities and saying, oh, I'm believing the Lord for a car, and if the Lord wants to bless me, he'll bless me. And if the world has this, I'll have it as well. And I understand that. I understand that concept. But the issue is, if you truly understand what you're saying, if the world has this, then I have the other through Christ. But the world accumulates things for themselves. Our motive of accumulating things, of having things, is to distribute it in the kingdom of God. There were people in this country who are now with the Lord who passed away, and they created big corporations and companies that in the last years, when I say the last years, I refer to 20 years, perhaps 30 years. They lived of the 10% of what they would produce, and 90% would be for the works of the Lord. Because they understood it wasn't about themselves. Now, before continuing, let's see what that word grace is in the Greek. The word charis means favor, merited favor, undeserved or unmerited favor, or divine ability. Again, this divine ability is from God. Empowerment, favor, loving kindness, reward. Goodness of God toward mankind. I could give you a definition in line with everything that we spoke on. Grace is God dealing with you as if you had never sinned. Oh, tremendous. If you had never sinned because you're in Christ. So one more time. Did you know there's power, for example, if you have a gun or if you have a car, you know that car or that gun, well, let's talk about a car here. Everything that is true has something to cause harm. For example, you have a car and you can use it always for good, but that same car, you could use it for something evil. That car, if you don't know how to operate it correctly, could harm or kill you. So I give this example in the natural, because things like these here, like truths that are here, they have the ability to bring freedom. They have the ability to teach. But if you misunderstand them, they can go against you. And they can destroy your life. For example, there are people who use the grace of God. I'll give you definitions of what grace isn't. Grace is not debauchery. Grace is not disobedience. There's a segment of the body of Christ that when they hear grace, they think that grace is debauchery. Disobedience. Grace doesn't mean being lazy. Grace doesn't mean, for example, Christians will say, oh, grace means less. No, grace is more. Today in the morning, I was talking with an aunt of mine, and once came here, remember? A retired judge, sister of my mom. When speaking on finances, she asked me a few questions. And now she's very generous in the kingdom. But we were talking just in general of the teachings that there are. For example, one time a person, this was in Phoenix some time ago, I made a comment in a church and I said, I don't practice tithing. About to close up because the pastor, normally in the churches, they receive tithings and offerings before the word. But this pastor told me, you are not going to receive offerings. You take advantage of all time, of the whole time. Preach as much as you can, and at the end, you can receive them. And I said, oh, okay, that's fine. One of the things that I mentioned on finances during the teaching is I said, Nuvi and I, we rarely practice tithing. Now remember, there are people who will use things that we say for their own convenience. Amen. They'll use it in a twisted way. But the solution isn't to stop talking about the truth. The solution is to continue speaking it. Let me show you here with the Bible. You think this only happens to Brother Hughes, huh? Well, no, I have some news for you. Go with me to 2 Peter. Peter 3:15. His last letter here. And here he was already starting, before closing up the letter, he said this, 15. And consider that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation. And also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. Paul here recognizing that it was the wisdom of God. The wisdom I've written. And also in all his epistles speaking these things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You thought it only happened to Brother Hughes. You thought it only happened to Brother Hughes when he says, God loves you regardless of your actions. Brother Hughes, don't say that people are going to sin and disobey. People sin because they want to sin. They disobey because they want to disobey. On the contrary, actually, Jesus, the Son of God, which is the grace of God incarnate, when he lives inside of you, will tell you to do the contrary. The grace of God makes you come to church more, not less. If you understand it, if you have a revelation of it, the grace of God, if you understand it, provokes where if you are married, you have a matrimony which is literally on heaven and earth. If you understand it, the grace of God, doesn't matter what other people say of you or believe in of you. You won't be defending it. There's a difference sometimes between clarifying something defending ourselves. Defend as, oh, someone says something of you, and then you're talking with half the world, learning of what they learned about you. Hang on, oh, that's a lie, and this and that, and you talk with people, and you go to their homes trying to find them. You send them messages trying to defend yourself. Jesus never did that, and I'll show you with the grace of God in this session. Amen. If you let the spiritual trash of the world, the way of operating of the world, the spiritual sewage, you know what that is in the natural? It's all just waste. If you let the spiritual waste of the world penetrate in your head and in your way of thinking, even penetrate the churches, it has penetrated the local churches. The word of God here will not work for you. Because God loves us regardless of our actions by grace, but God, for the same reason, he loves us. Notice what he won't do. He will never drop down to our way of thinking. Never. Of course, God will find you in the level that you're at. But not him to drop himself, but to lift you up to his level. And I mentioned in this church, Nuvia and I rarely tithe. And although I explained, someone there didn't fully understand in the congregation. And at the end of the service, after praying for some people and greeting others that I hadn't known yet, person came forward with his wife and said, "Brother Hughes, I don't tithe either because tithing is under the law." And I said, "Well, yes, but it didn't originate from the law." Again, when people have their understanding darkened, or they just don't want to hear the truth, they act as if they didn't hear you. I said, "You do understand that it didn't come from the law. More so, it didn't originate under the law. It was incorporated into it, but it didn't specifically come from it." Just looked at me. Have you seen toads or frogs during a hailstorm? And they just start blinking like this? So it's raining and we could have some hail and they just start blinking? Well, that's all this guy did. He looked like a toad under a hailstorm. But he never answered. No, really, like that. And he acted as if he didn't hear me. And he told me again, because tithing is under the law, and that's why I don't tithe. And that of giving is just an obligation. I said, "Look, if you're going to use an excuse of tithing, if a mature person comes with me and says, 'Brother Hughes, I don't practice tithing, because I believe tithing is under the law and it was given out of an obligation,' then I'm going to assume, if you're a mature person, you don't practice tithing, it means you give more than the tithing." In other words, if you're going to use the grace of God or the New Testament to not give, that indicates then that you give more than tithing and you're generous. Understand one more time. If you or any other person, I'm mature here, says, "Oh, I don't tithe because tithing is under the law and I don't want to bind myself," but that's another subject, because there are some people who bind themselves for 30 years giving tithing only. After that, they do it as an obligation. And then apart from that, they're only going to receive the 10%, as if you make business for 30, 40 years and you only receive a dividend of it, of a 10%, when you could have received more. But if a mature person says, "I don't tithe because we're under the law," that indicates then that person doesn't give based on the 10%, but more. If you're going to use grace, that means that you're more generous. Amen. A person that does that is Mom Betty Price. She says she doesn't tithe, but she gives way more than 10%. And Fred Price the same. Although they believed in the principle of tithing, but the moment came in which they started giving more than the 10%. And someone says, "I don't give because I don't give the 10% because we're no longer under the law." That's right, I assume they're mature. But this person that I'm commenting on, in reality, was using the grace of God as debauchery. Those people who just pray less, will give less, read their Bible less, seek from the Lord less because they're quote unquote under grace, and they're not a single bit generous. And what did we just read here? Verse 16. "In which are some things hard to understand." He didn't say impossible. He said some hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people, notice, twist, as they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. So twist to their own destruction. See it? Tell me what the New Living Translation. New Living Translation, those ignorant and unstable twisted. This is about the same word. Have twisted his letters to mean something quite different. Quite different, just as they do with other parts of scripture, as they will result in their destruction. And I've seen people over the years, including pastors and preachers, use the grace of God as debauchery, and they've destroyed their lives. They've destroyed their matrimony. They've destroyed their churches. It's very dangerous. There's potential there, it's true, as there's a potential in a vehicle that you have. How many of you at home have gas at home? Do you have electricity? Well, yeah. Some say, oh no, I live during the Stone Age. Why I'm asking? You know that electricity that's there. There's a power there that could kill you if you don't use it correctly. And also with that gas, there's a power that could kill you. God forbid the house goes up. There's a potential there. So in the Word, there are some subjects where the power there can destroy you if you misuse them, or just use them in the flesh. So, continuing here, to give good understanding. Last time, one of the scriptures that we saw, we were in Timothy, 1 Timothy, chapter 4. Paul told Timothy, again, I'm going to mention again, I want you to understand this from here on forever. Some of you are thinking, but the car, brother, the car. No, I'm not going to give it to you. For starter, it's Anthony's, not mine. The Legos that he collection. But I asked him to lend it to me to show something. See, this car wasn't here to just try to throw you off thinking that I'm going to give it to you, more so it's to show a demonstration of it. So 1 Timothy 11. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, spirit, in faith. The Lord said, he who reads understands. You have to use your imagination here. Timothy was a son of a Greek married to a Jewish woman. He was a young man. Some historians think he was between 30 years old, during his 30s of this time. And this church in Ephesus was about maybe 50,000 people at the time, which is where there are deacons and servants, bishops that would help him. But between the members of the church, there were people there who knew him. There was Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. There was the rest of the apostles, them John, of the gospel, of Revelations, of the three letters of John there. There were many people there. But many of them were Jewish. That's why Peter himself said, some difficult things to understand. Neither could Peter understand everything completely of what Paul was sometimes talking about of the grace of God. Sometimes the Judaism that they had in them bothered him. Not saying that it stopped him, but he said he himself recognized some things are difficult. Not that it was a lie, more so he just didn't fully understand, and many of them as well. So others, apart from there being persecution, many of those people left the church. Which is why in the second letter, when Paul writes to Timothy, Timothy was in a type of depression, as to say. He was sad. And Paul was encouraging him. But many of these people did not receive Timothy. And Timothy had the idea that Paul had to go and put order and say, you have to accept. Notice this word. Accept. You have to accept. That word accept, accepting. You have to accept Timothy because he is the pastor. That's what Timothy thought in his kind head. Because Paul, you have to come to put order because there are people who don't accept me. And Paul said, no, Timothy, it doesn't work that way. That's one of the things that you have to understand. You cannot demand for people to respect you or for people to love you. That only works in the world. And if you don't understand it, you're going to get frustrated saying, oh, it's because brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so doesn't accept me. Because this and that and the other. No. But the Bible says, Brother Hughes, that we should love one another. Loving is different. Accepting or for them to respect you. Something that you have to sow and you have to gain it. And if you do all possible and you never get going that person over, you have to have a conscience of being in. But that's an issue. Again, it happens in matrimonies. You know why there are issues between matrimonies? Because a man assumes that the wife, because he's his wife, has to accept him as is. And forcefully, and the woman as well. You know, that Nubian, I do not have that system in place. Which is why we have such tremendous matrimony. She doesn't have to accept me. Nor do I have to accept her. I have to love her. And what we've learned is this. If you have a revelation that you are accepted, accepted in the beloved, things change. That's all you need to understand with revelation. I am accepted in the beloved. The Lord Jesus has accepted me. If brother or sister so-and-so accepts you or not, that's on them. If you don't understand, I say it with all respect, you have too much sewage of the world in you. And the word, again, I tell you this out of experience, the teachings that I give you are in a Bible college level, but many will not receive it. And it's free here. I tell you this because I'm still in college. And there's no difference to what I teach in the setting that the instructors on. It seems as if almost you're in a church, the way that they have it. If you understand what Ephesians 1 says, Ephesians 1 verse 6, which is why it's so important to read it, confess it, say it. That's where the confession is. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. The only thing that I need to understand, know with revelation, is that I was accepted in the beloved. If someone accepts me or not, that's not on me. I'm going to sow to win over that respect, that acceptance, but it's me. I shouldn't expect the people to just do it. You understand? Let me give you an example. The Lord will help me. There it is. Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Listen to this, my brother. When you read this, you read it. It's God speaking to you. Can you see it? You see it? Read it for yourself. You know what the average Christian does is, oh, well, brother so-so doesn't love me. But it's not saying that. It's God speaking. Because, Brother Hughes, my wife doesn't respect me. You know why issues are between those matrimonies? Because here comes the carnal husband with some nonsense in his head. Hey, I love my wife, and she asked me to please not be saying this. Glory to God. to her, it might seem a bit strong, those words. To me, it isn't, but, you know, one day when she's not here, I can say, no, I'm kidding. So the carnal husband comes, who has spent years listening to the word, but he doesn't receive it, and says some nonsense. Then there's the wife answering that. You know why? You answer back because you want to. You want to make him understand. You want to gain his acceptance. But Brother Hughes, because my husband told me this and that. And do you really believe that you are what the carnal side of your husband said? You really believe that? No, then you ignore him. Say, okay, turn around and say, I condemn all tongue that comes against me. And vice versa. The carnal wife comes in, mad because you didn't give her flowers on her birthday or a box of chocolates, or you didn't spend more on your credit card, or the debt's already eating you, but hey, that's the world. Or God forbid, you didn't put anything on Facebook. Although you already saw her, but you have to put something on social media. Like last year, I remember on my birthday, someone greeted me through Facebook. I answered, and then later on sent me a message. I thought, hey, but what? Why? No, backwards. Sent me a message through the phone, and then after that, put me the same thing on Facebook. Like, what's the point? You know what the point is? Because people see, so that the people can see that they sent me something through Facebook. That's that acceptance. My brother, please mature. But I tell you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. You're reading it? It's the grace of God telling you. But I tell you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. If they bless you, bless them. And if they curse you, curse them back. Stop putting your precious head the trash of the world. All that spiritual waste of the world. Now you understand why I said in the other sessions, I don't defend myself of accusations. If someone comes and tells me something, saying, hey, pastor, this and the other, like, oh, in reality, the truth is this. And that's it. But I'm not going to be putting on my social media. Imagine, can you imagine? There are people whom I could make them to pieces. I have a lot of followers on social media. I could put that camera there and go at them, tell them their names, say what I know of their lives. And then I could still use witnesses and demand them in court for defamation. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to lower myself to the same carnal level. And you know what I'm going to end up doing? I'm going to be like some of them, depending on social medication, depending on help from the government. This isn't a criticism. If you have help like access or social medicine or something like that, don't take it personal. But you have to judge the life of a person by their fruits. Here's an example of this. I'm going to avoid names. There's this pastor, very famous pastor here in the United States, I believe across the world. Ministries in Texas. Heard of men of what, 70 years or something like that? Personally, I respect him, but he's not someone that I follow. But I learned of something. This man, another man, accused him that supposedly years ago, more than 40 years ago, more than what, 40 years ago, that supposedly that pastor had a homosexual relationship with him. That man is very famous here in the United States. He's a preacher. He's not a teacher. He's a preacher, and millions of people follow him on television and radio, internet. So what this pastor did was he hired some lawyers, because that's already a very severe accusation. And this man has a very famous personality. So he hired some lawyers, because this man that accused him also put a lawyer, and after that asked for money. So here's my point. Quickly, the world, a television, the internet, they started going against that pastor. I won't tell you names, but if you read some of the comments, majority of them Christians, think about it. Those Christians are judging that pastor out of an accusation. There's no proof. So much so, this pastor, he countersued because he said, they want to take my money. I've never been a lord, not even before nor after. I've been faithful to my wife. And he's a man that has great influence and great respect. I don't listen to him. I don't follow him. But not because of that am I going to curse him. For example, some time ago, just so you can see, a church burned here. Two or three churches burned here. But I remember a church very close to us. There are people who told me, here in Douglas, Christians, no, you know what? That pastor burned the church to charge the insurance. But you know the point is, here's my point. People assure things. That's called judging someone. To slander. Am I defending that pastor? No, I don't know. But you know what I'm going to, I said is, I don't know. It's true. It's very, it's used a lot in this country. But you and I cannot go and point with our finger and assure. When, were you there? Did you hear him say of it? Can you testify of that in court? And Christians involved, leave the world. The Christians accuse their brothers in Christ, accusing others. And you know what happens? That's why the Lord said, do not judge. That way you are not judged, which is why so many of those Christians live the way they do, because that judgment comes back to them. Now, of course, some could think, oh, Brother Hughes, but you've said of pastors here in the United States that I've been thrown in jail because of this and the other. Exactly. The difference is, you notice how I've never pointed my finger towards someone specifically of one or two or giving you names. Another one, when I've mentioned these pastors, they're pastors who were proven, judgment was done in court, and all the proof was there. And it proved that they were guilty, and for that reason, they're in jail. What can I learn when I say this? Is some of them misuse the grace of God. Others let the devil win them over. But you've never heard me give you the name of someone. And actually, in this moment, nor am I telling you the name, because I personally believe that pastor is guilty. I don't believe, but I don't know, but that's all I speak of. And I'm not going to be putting stupid comments. You know why these happen? Or forgive me. Sorry, love. Foolish comments. I need some grace, please. But you know why those Christians speak those things? Brother Hughes, what does this have to do with what you're talking? A lot. That they haven't received the love of God. And when they don't receive it, you cannot give what you don't receive. You haven't received the love of God. That's why you can't give it. I could be here all night sharing stories of things that I've known, that I've learned of. One time in Mesa, I had gone to preach, and I was going to come back. I was going to come back. Listen, I was going to come back. Day tomorrow, Friday morning, with my wife, Nuvia was with me, and my children were with me. They were in Mesa, and this pastor called me and said, "So and so called me, the pastor whom I was with a few nights ago. He said that you're here in the Phoenix area. Hey, come eat with us. We're gonna so and so are gonna be there. Two or three preachers there. Two of them are those who call missionaries. Two of them were missionaries. Now the pastor." And a prophet of God. I say it that way because for the following. I told Nunu, hey, I'm going to go with brother so-and-so. He called me. He said, okay, that's fine. You want to go? No, I'll stay here with my mom and the kid. I was in Mesa and I went all the way to Phoenix. When I arrived, we sat down and we were talking. We were eating. We asked something to eat. And those brothers in Christ, those servants of God, they knew of an issue that had happened with a pastor of a certain denomination, whom I knew of that pastor, and I knew of that situation. And that, in that food, we were eating there. The missionaries were talking of the last trip that they had, and one of them had gone to Guatemala and sharing of that. The people that were saved and the signs, and everything's fine. Then suddenly one said, "Hey, Brother Hughes, did you learn of what happened with Brother So-and-so," referring to that pastor that had fallen in a situation of adultery? And I thought, uh-oh. I continued eating. I just said, "Oh, yeah." And then the other one started participating in it as well. In a question of 2-3 minutes, 4 minutes, every single one started saying things of, "Oh, this and the other." And I stood up. I said, "If you invited me to eat, to just be talking about a pastor so-and-so, I know what happened, I know what he did. Best if I just go back to Mesa." I said, "Yeah, but it was wrong what he did." "Yeah, it was very wrong. I don't doubt it, but did you call him?" I pointed at him. Did you call him? Did that calling come from you? Did you establish it?" "No." Then he will speak to the Lord. He opened the doors to the devil. That's why consequences came. From that, I don't judge him. If Christians guarded their mouth more, 80% of issues would be over with, because much of it is just judgment that they bring themselves to their lives, because they haven't understood how much God loves them.
The Word of God says in Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you have not been born again. Therefore, you have to take the next step. I am not speaking about a religion or changing your religion. I am speaking about you receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. I invite you to make this confession with me. God, in heaven above, I come before you to receive the gift of life, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he is alive and he reigns. Jesus, I give you my life, and I invite you into my heart. From now on, God, I can call you Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for receiving me as your child." Now, if you have said this prayer, you have been born again. Welcome to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to God's family. And remember, with all thy getting, get understanding. The Word says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight."
Hi, I'm Kayla, daughter of Pastors Ignacio and Nuvia Hughes from Word of Faith Ministries, and I want to highly recommend my spiritual grandfather Kenneth Copeland's book, The Joy and Power of the Tithing Covenant. I have read it myself, and I can assure you it explains in detail how the tithe is prevalent under grace. I encourage you to obtain a copy and see how it will change your mindset and free you from any doubt that you may have concerning the subject of the tithe. Please visit kcm.org to order it.
We want to know about you and what God has done in your life. Please visit our website, mpfccc.org, and click on the testimony section and share with us the wonders of the Lord.
Do you have any questions regarding this teaching? Visit our website at mpfccc.org and click on the question section to submit your question for Pastor Ignacio Hughes.
Parents, if you have another issue with other brothers in Christ, and you speak of poison, of those people poisoning the ears of your children, and your children grow up unsure, grow up carnal, they grow up with anger, resentment. There's no fear of God. They don't believe what the Word says. Go back to 1 Timothy. Are you all good? Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word. An example. Conduct. Amen. In love. In spirit means that you have a good attitude. In faith, in purity. Verse 13. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. In this, in reading not the life of others, exhortation to in doctrine, occupy yourself in these things as a believer, not in gossip. Or that of, oh, well, he said this and I just defended myself. Well, then let's see it. Because inside of this series, we saw that if Jesus is your Lord, which is why the subject is called Jesus, my Lord. Don't be offended, but I don't know if he's your Lord. Perhaps he's your Savior. I'm doing this because, are you mad, Brother Hughes? No, look. Jesus is my Lord. I submit to God. Oh, that's fine. Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Why do you call me Lord? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock, which is Christ, his word. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Many houses full of Christians in ruin. And some Christians, that because they have a good job, they say, oh no, I'm not in ruin. But I know and I believe it as well, and we've all experimented it. For I was one time in a life. What terrible it is to live with that anger, with resentment. There's no peace. You already live in a hell of not having the hell. I'm not comparing that it's same as hell that the Bible speaks of, but it is a type of hell. Like a piece of hell at home. People that live in bitterness, in resentment, in wrath. They have a piece of hell in their life. They're not happy. No peace. They live like heathens, although they are children of God, and although God loves them, they live like heathens do. They don't have peace. Because they put too much ear to what other people say of them. And like the world, what he did to me, he needs to pay it back, and he insulted me and screamed at me and said this and the other. Suppose someone said something about you, whatever it is. Just suppose. You value that person that much? Their opinion? You could say, oh no, I'm not that. Because you believe what this says here. Yeah, I am the same righteous God in Christ Jesus. I am temple of the Holy Spirit. Which is why words full of faith and grace are so important. Now here comes the example of the power. Reality, what we speak, although we say, and it's fine, but I believe you can have greater understanding of it. When we say to release your faith, to release words of faith, it's fine. Nevertheless, in reality, what you release is a combination of both. Jesus and his word are one. Beside Jesus and the grace of God are one. When you speak and say, I am more than a conqueror by him who loved me, you are releasing grace. The vehicle is faith. Here it comes. You see the example, which is why I asked my son to lend me this car of his. Yeah, I can. See this little guy here? This is the grace of God. This car is faith. It's the vehicle. When you release words and you say, I am more than a conqueror, you're releasing the word. You are more than a conqueror by grace, not by your kind face, not by your muscles because you go to the gym or by the nice haircut you have, or because you're very intelligent, or because you have high brand clothes. No, you're more than a conqueror by Christ. Faith is the vehicle that the grace travels in. It's this car. That's where. Haven't you heard yourself? People of the world say this. One time I heard that I know at home. And this was before phones. The youth don't even know what I'm talking about. What is that? But the landlines. You hear the phone. You know, of the house there said, oh, someone told him that he was going to go to his place because he said, oh, are you coming? Oh, yeah, we're here. Well, that's fine. Yeah, I will wait for you here. And hung up. I didn't understand now. I was there sitting down on the table. He told his wife, and his wife said, who is it? And it was a brother, a sibling of the lady. Said, your brother's coming, and then your cousin, and this. Even the wife said, oh, you should have told him something that no, or something. And so, well, he asked me if we were there, if we were going to travel, I wasn't going to lie to him. I was there listening. I didn't want to sound, too nosy. Yeah, that's, here's just your family. But the brother told me that it's cool. Or forgive me, not brother, because at that time, there weren't believers, Christians. But this person, being of the world, said, told me, they talk. If you stay enough time, they just talk disgrace through their mouth. They're always complaining, criticizing someone else. And he said it correctly. When you speak contrary to the word of God, that's where you're speaking disgrace, not grace. When you're judging and you get offended and you're speaking with the person that offended you, you're speaking disgrace, and you think you're going to harm that person, you're harming yourself. All of that is because you haven't understood this. Whoever listens to me, television, radio, we want to defend ourselves. Because I defended myself, I'm not going to let them insult me. Oh, you. You love yourself too much. I want you to see here with the Bible. We just saw. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Look. Look at me. I want you to see it. I just remember something. I remembered something very good here. I can share it with you, but it's best if you. Now, really put time so you believe the word of God. And say, I'm not going to act this way, I'm going to be different. Holy Father, help me. Here it is. Chapter 19. Verse 1. John 19, thank you, apologies. John 19, verse 1. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. Basically, very easy. I have it here, but I didn't tell you where. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns that put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they struck him with their hands. Then Pilate went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to him, "Behold the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." Notice, you see Jesus defending himself here? He was quiet. And as Isaiah said, he did not open his mouth. So why do you open it? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, because Pilate was scared of the people. He valued too much the opinion of others. And he went out into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. And then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it was given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." That's it. So when you hear people slander or saying lies, or saying so-and-so said this and putting this in there, you just say, "I am the same righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am accepted by the Beloved. I am accepted by God." Hallelujah. And I don't get in that nonsense. Answer. That's all you're going to answer. You don't have to defend yourself. Even if your accuser is there and slandering you and saying that they're right there in front of you, your husband, your wife, your children, you don't defend yourself. "Because he made me mad, Brother Hughes." And then you know why you get mad? In love. I'll tell you this with sweet lips. Because you're carnal. Yeah. You know why when I started in radio, I would try to defend myself and defend myself and try to say this, and then I'd arrive at 9 in the morning and spend half an hour defending myself because I was carnal. Because I love myself too much. I thought, who are these? If I'm an anointed pastor by the Holy Spirit. You know how many times I've repented of. It's because they attacked me first and I have to defend myself. I would say that. Well, how you've changed, Brother Hughes. Glory to God for the word. Because these same verses that are bashing you on the inside are the ones that the Lord spoke to me. This is, I'm so loving, I don't want to keep the same thing, so I want to share it with you. Oh, go ahead.
"Speaking on a congregation, if there is a misunderstanding between brothers, people, applying what you're saying now, could they clear up that situation?"
I just said a moment ago, there are moments to clarify something. If someone comes to you asking, you clarify, you break all misunderstanding, but you won't avoid of people constantly sending you out there. What are you going to do? Go fight with those people? It's best to clarify things in the love of God. And say something and clarify. We were in our youth service on Friday, some Fridays ago in Tucson. And I told two youth that they barely even come here. I said, hey, how is it that you come here because it's Tucson? And if we would have been made a camp, you would have come, but you don't come to the normal services. And I wasn't mad. My issue was that, as I said, I talked to the youth as I talked to my children. In confidence, trust. But when, you know, they felt bad, and Nuvia came in and told me, it's not the moment of saying that. You shouldn't say that. It's not the time nor the place. I said, that's true. And right there I said, kids, forgive me. I even gave him a kiss on the cheek. It was wrong. I shouldn't have said that. But I wasn't mad. Right there, I told them, forgive me. I don't know how much they forgive me, depending if they're carnal, whether they're not going to forgive me. But here's the other point. That's why you have to balance. This was perhaps. Did I share this last story? You're gonna like it. It has to do with what I'm talking about. You, because you also have to value sometimes. And you have to give mercy as God has given you grace and mercy. Notice there in the definition of grace before giving you this story. One of the things that it says here is a good will of God towards humanity, towards us. Again, loving kindness. Some years ago, I had gone to California and I was in that church, and the pastor of that church was already, I won't say he was retired, but he had already given lots of authority to his son. But they're very conservative. So then, without putting pressure on anyone, they spoke of their support of Trump. It was in their first term. Again, this was years ago. What? 10 years ago already. And there were leaders. They just said that they gave the position in supporting him because Mr. Trump of them supporting Mr. Trump more. But I'll put a parenthesis. As much as I support him, I detest his way of speaking and of just giving nicknames to his political enemies and blasting them on social media. I hate that. You shouldn't do that. But again, some time ago, there was some leaders that made a division because of that. So when I went there, they're telling me what was happening. That help us, Pastor. It's because Pastor, you have so much more time in ministry than we do, and in age. But it had affected him. And I told him, remember, you are the same righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yeah, and he expressed it very least. He just said, as to why, he said, because he's against abortion, against many things. He just said something like that. He didn't impose it on people. And those carnal leaders caused a division. Some months later, I went to the church where my pastor Arnoldo Gutierrez used to pastor. And I was speaking something of division. And I mentioned, but I said this. I said, there are churches where the leaders can be an issue. The people, but the leaders, instead of backing up the pastor, of knowing, of understanding the heart of the pastor, they can become an issue. And that moment, I did not know, but it turns out something had happened as well in the church of my pastor. But I didn't know it. I didn't say because of my pastor, but I was just sharing. So when the service was over, I noticed that my pastor was very, very, very serious. Had a very serious demeanor, and with me. So when we went to his office, there in his office, not before the people, the office, he told me, well, actually, I think the door was open and his wife were there and some other people. But there in his office, he told me, and he pointed at me, and he said, it's the last time that you speak of something like that. It's something that doesn't concern you and the people will not respect you, you shouldn't have spoken of what you mentioned. But I, in the moment, I didn't know what I said. I said, Pastor, forgive me, but I don't know what I said. Of course you know it. He said, of course you know it. And since I knew him and I honored him, you see, that's where you have to see that balance, first of all. If you see that you're in Christ and God loves you, then you won't, your flesh won't matter of saying, oh, who does this guy think he is to be speaking of that? But I saw the grace of God and I put us on scale what God had done to that man in my life. Do you understand? I wasn't saying that in the natural, it seemed that it was unjust. Who do you think I am? In Christ, you are everything and confess everything you are in Christ. But in your flesh, always say this, in your flesh, I am nothing. Who am I in my flesh? If I don't shower it, it smells. Who am I? Who do I think I am? Every once in a while, tell yourself that in a loud voice. Don't look at yourself in the mirror and say, in the flesh, you are nothing. You are any other man. The flesh. Look at how quickly. The flesh, very quickly, it drops. You start telling your flesh, oh, calm down. Who do you think you are? You don't sleep, you look like a raccoon. You eat an extra enchilada instead of, you ate 10 instead of 9, you gained 10 pounds. And start insulting yourself in your flesh. Look at how quickly. But you pamper it too much. The spirit, you are amazing, but all offense, all strife, all anger, everything of acceptance operates here in your flesh. If you say, I am the same righteousness of God in Christ, I am accepted in the beloved glory to God. So when I saw my pastor, you know, when his eyes became smaller than when he already had them, and his hair, it kind of like stood up here, he got red, I would say to myself, Brother Hughes, shut up. I wasn't going to argue. Shut up. In this church, people have treated my pastor the way that I would never treat my pastor. Okay, that's fine. That's fine, Pastor. Well, I'm going to let myself go. Then Nui and I are about to leave. We'll talk later. That's fine. Have a good time. Very serious. I came to Nubia. And what happened? I don't know really. He says that I know, but I really don't. I said, Lord, what did I say? And the Lord told me he misunderstood an example that you gave. The Spirit of God revealed to me exactly. You know why? I didn't judge him. I didn't say anything. I stayed quiet. Yeah, that's fine, Pastor. Gave him a hug when he gave me his hand. I put my hand in a sign of I love you. And I prayed. Days later, I don't know when this happened. But I wasn't mad that or anything. I just wanted, I wanted to please God. I wanted to please him because I have him in high esteem. Days later, I already knew this on behalf of the Lord. One of the leaders, I spoke with him. I said, hey, has something happened? Did something happen, an issue lately in the church? He said, yes, it's because this and this happened. Oh, okay. You see,
I already had that information of the Spirit of the Lord. Why? Oh, it's nothing. It's because the pastor told me that just throwing more dirt on my pastor, as if throwing more dirt on God who gave me that gift. It's as if someone gives you something and you grab it and start throwing dirt on it. Not wise. I know I wasn't trying to find no more, so this person called me to greet me, and I took it out and I said, hey, has something happened lately? Oh yeah, this and that. He told me quickly, didn't give me details, but I pretty much knew at that point. Some time I had a pastor, I said, oh hey pastor, and you know I noticed him different now. He had pretty much ran about and he's talking, hey, where are you gonna go back? And this, hey, you know what if I see you there in Sierra Vista? Such day. Imagine if it was today, maybe 2 days later. I'll see you there in Sierra Vista. Oh, that's fine. Take Nubia and your kids. The kids were very small at this. I already had all four, but they were still very, very small kids. Have you gone to the only Denny's there in Sierra Vista? Perhaps not all of you. We sat down there. And before sitting down, the pastor said, oh, before ordering, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And I accompanied him. That I came drinking a lot of water and coffee. I said, oh, I'll go with you. Okay. While he used the bathroom, he was urinating. And I stood there where the sinks were. And he said, oh, how's it been for you? Very good, this and the other. And I noticed him very different. When we went out of the bathroom, if you've ever been there in Sierra Vista, that Denny's, the entrance is there. And right when you come in, the bathrooms to your right side, and then there were the registers. I put my hand on his shoulder and I said, pastor, I just want to tell you this very quickly to clarify something. I remember last time we were there that I spoke something. You told me that it was wrong of me. I said, yes. I said, well, what happened, pastor, was, remember also I had told you that I was going to go to California and then on and I said this and the other. I said, yes. Did you not remember on the phone that I told you? This pastor shared with me that he had issues with the leaders, him and his son had issues. And he said, okay, now I remember. Yeah, I hadn't remembered. I said, that's what I was referring to that one time. And you know what he told me? He turned around and looked at me and said, patted me on the back and said, see how someone can misunderstand things. Huh? Let's go eat. He never told me, oh, forgive me or something like that. And now you understand. By almost half a century of age, I don't use medication. I don't have access. I don't have help from the government. Now you understand. Because I don't go against spiritual laws, as one of them being this spirit of honor. Every once in a time, tell your flesh, you are nothing, stinky flesh. Especially when you don't shower for 2 or 3 days. I know some of you, well, that's what I do. I shower every Saturday. I need it or not. Amen. Talk to your flesh like that. After that, remind it who you are in Christ. More than a conqueror, my flesh. The Lord loves me, but to your flesh, oh, shut up, stinky flesh. Who do you think you are? The greatest thing? You're nothing. A question of one breath. Haven't you seen people that like this? They stand up and then immediately just fall dead. The natural, this body is very fragile. And in the blink of an eye, one person can go from the world of the living to the world of the dead, regardless of where they go, meaning heaven or hell. Question of second. Why your trust is always in the Lord. Why faith is spiritual. Faith works by love. And many have made faith, I mean, just boasting. Oh, I'm more than a conqueror. See, there are people like that. They would have been in my position when their pastor calls their attention. Well, who does he think he is? I'm the same righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're misapplying it. You understand? It's when you become humble. Jesus, the Son of God. Release words full of grace. Did I leave you the car, sister, or do you need it? Yeah, okay. Glory to God.
Thank the Lord for His word, and that this word comes into our revelation. Father left His word, but He also left someone that we've left forgotten. Our pastor said grace needs to be go in hand with faith. And everything that the Lord has given us, He gave it with a complement. Faith, love, wisdom with patience. And the Word goes with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit left them forgotten, and we've just kept the Word. To the Holy Spirit, we need to bring Him, because the Spirit of God will take us to the Word and will show us His Word and will console with His Word, and He will set us free with the Word. And in Luke 6, 31, 38, give and it shall be given. Just in giving, to give, we need to have knowledge at the light of the Word. And through the Word, we will be shown how it needs to be done to receive. But we need a guide who guides us with the Word to act on that giving. Guide is the Holy Spirit. And if you only have the knowledge of the Word, but leave aside the Holy Spirit, then you're going to derail with the trash of the world. And the trash of the world is you don't see. Hold what's from the Lord and don't let it go, because you're in need. You're in need. And then the trash of the world comes and operates in your mind. And that's why the Holy Spirit, He was left so that every day of our lives, we could take Him into account for Him to guide us so that we don't derail. There's many who have just gotten lost and have withheld what belongs to the Lord. And that's why we see calamities, because the Holy Spirit has not been taken to account. And to give, we need a guide. If you don't use the Holy Spirit to guide, another guide will come, and that's Satan. And Satan will not guide you to the good. He will guide you to ruin. He will guide you to poverty. He will guide you to foolishness. And you're going to eat what the Lord provided as a seed, because you're not taking out the guide. You have the Word, and glory to God that you do. But you need the Holy Spirit to guide you. He will tell you how much you're going to give, how you're going to do it, how you're going to exit your routine and come out of that comfort zone of the same thing. And that's why so many people don't understand to give more, because they're in a comfort zone and the Holy Spirit isn't there. In John 6:13, therefore they says, when the Holy Spirit will come and guide you, The Holy Spirit will guide us to the Word and will not go out of that zone, and He will take us to the Word. The Holy Spirit moves from Genesis to the end of the Word of the Apocalypse. He's reflected the Spirit of God. That's why He was left there, so that we could take Him into account to pray. To pray, I need the Holy Spirit to guide me to make a prayer that's effective. To clear up a doubt, we need the Holy Spirit to guide us so that we can understand what's encrypted in the Word and not just see it as a story. But we need the Holy Spirit for everything. And how many times aside, we don't consider Him. So He's saying here that the Holy Spirit will guide us to truth. And say, why? For He will not speak on His own authority, but whenever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. That's the Word says, give and it will be given unto. That's the manifestation of a harvest. So the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm going to guide you with the Word. With the Word, you're going to understand how you are going to give. And with the Holy Spirit guiding us, we're going to remain. We're going to remain speaking and guarding our words so that we don't contaminate what we are sowing. And then the receiving will come, but always present in the Holy Spirit of God, because that's how it was said. It's the Word, but it's the Holy Spirit also. It's the Holy Spirit and the one who manifests. And He comes and speaks what the Father wants you to know at the time of giving. Maybe He wants you to give more, that you don't stop sowing. Maybe the Holy Spirit wants you to say, look at the land, the field, and He sees all the empty spaces. And you didn't sow because you stopped having faith. And without faith, you couldn't continue with that continuous sowing. And there's some empty spaces. You don't know what the Holy Spirit wants to reveal over the financial area. Because many have withheld their hand, and there's field without seed. So the Holy Spirit is necessary. And the other, that the heart may be moved. The Holy Spirit moves the heart, and He aligns it to the Word so that we can give with freedom. That's why the Word says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, not give with sadness. Why not with sadness? Because there is a guide. And the guide will not let you give out of need. But it also says, for God loves a cheerful giver. And he who is cheerful is the one who has the Word, but also has the guide that is the Holy Spirit. There's joy, cheer. And they say it's the time of the cheerful giver. And how many of you are not cheerful? Because there is a Holy Spirit missing that is manifesting trust and security and peace. That's why the Holy Spirit says that in the day of the Pentecostal in Acts 2, that they read the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. If you continue reading the next chapters from chapter 2 and forward, there was a tremendous change to those that were unbelievers of the manifestation, and they were all united, and they were praying, and that place shook, and they were all full of the Holy Spirit. That means that when the Holy Spirit is there, something needs to shake in us. Something is stirred up in us. And that makes us react to be doing what the Lord said. And the word says, and in the same heart and with the same soul. And that revolution of that unity, and it comes to mind, Psalms 133, when there is unity, something needs to happen. And unity is made up by the Holy Spirit in the congregation. And in that same unity, they had the same heart, that same mind, because the Holy Spirit had come and had filled them. And there had been guidance. And no one should know, this is mine and I'm not letting go. And they all said, this is for everyone to use. Nobody said, this is mine and I'm not letting it go. They let it go because there was a direction. They had word, but they had the Holy Spirit in mind. Question, who guides you to give? Who guides you to give? Because if you're on the side that's not the Holy Spirit, you're being guided by the one who wants to see you in poverty, in disobedience, and disobedience brings consequences. Amen?
Were you ministered and were you fed with the Word of God? Then we give you the opportunity to do so online tonight, or in this day, or whenever you are listening to us. The Word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7, let him who is taught the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In those same verses, but in the New Living Translation, those who are taught the Word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. So in this case, we are speaking of Word of Faith Ministries, which teaches you the Word. Now, verse 7, New Living Translation, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So when a person is constantly fed with the Word of God, they should respond. Why? Because it is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you yourself, because when you sow the Word out of thankfulness, then you will reap. And at the same time, you help us, or you help that person who is being fed, in this case, from Word of Faith Ministries, to be taken farther. If Word of Faith Ministries does not feed you spiritually, then pray to the Lord to direct you or someone else and to another ministry to where you can be fed. But from where you are fed, the honorable is that you sow in that Word. The Bible says that God gives to the sower. There is no such thing as, oh, I don't have or I can't. That's true. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So if you start believing by faith, the laws of faith are, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask seed to sow. I believe that I receive it and thank you for it. And from then on, every single day, thank you, Father, that you give me seed to sow. Miraculously, God will provide seed. We've lived it for those who believe in this. We've lived it time and time again, and we've experienced it time and time again. I agree with you in this day, in the moment of sowing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who will participate in sowing and reaping. I call an abundant harvest, a hundredfold return. We believe we receive this in agreement in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that your word is true, and thank you that we see prosperity in the lives of your children, in those who will sow, in those who will give. In this moment, we thank you, and we agree, and you know what? Nothing, you will lack nothing, and not only you will lack nothing, you will come out of debt. Not only will you come out of debt, you will prosper in the way of God. You will prosper according to the way of God. When that harvest comes now, be wise, seek wisdom. Don't spend. Get out of debt. God wants you free of debt, and He wants you very prosperous to finance the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.